Yes, in here, he had assured Halleck. Trudy hoped that Grant would notice the camera's failure, and deduce what Halleck was up to. Hurry up, Grant, she urged silently. Stop her before she makes me go outside. As soon as he satisfied himself that Trudy's suit was functional, Obermann began tugging on the leggings of his own suit. And who checks you out? Trudy asked softly. Sitting on the bench as he pulled on his boots, Obermann grinned at her. You do, honey. It's not hard to do. Just make sure all the connector lights show green. That's all there is to it.
Then why does it take so damnably long? Halleck demanded.
Like Trudy, she was fully suited up except for her helmet. Don't worry, Mrs. Halleck, said Obermann. We have plenty of time.
You might think so. I don't.
Getting to his feet, Obermann said, Didn't you see me reset the lock when we came in here and closed the corridor door? It'll take 10-15 minutes for anybody to figure out the new combination. He looked quite pleased with himself. As he reached for the hard shell of his suit's torso, Obermann went on. All four hoppers are lined up just outside the airlock. They're all fueled and ready to go. That's standard procedure. The lobber you came in on, Mrs. H., is sitting on the blast pad, so we'll have to take off from where the hopper's sitting.
Couldn't that be a problem? Trudy asked.
Nope. Those little birds can take off from just about any place. And land any place. Not like the lobbers. They're too big for that. They need a nice smooth pad to sit down on. Working his arms through the suit's sleeves, Obermann said to Trudy, Okay now, Dr. Yost, you pick up my backpack out of my locker and connect it onto the clips on the back of my suit. Trudy did as she was told, seething inside with a desperate hope that Grant would break down the corridor door and save her before they forced her outside. Escape. Grant skidded to a stop at the closed door to the lockers, with Cardenas a step behind him. He tapped out the entry code, but the keypad flashed red and the door remained shut. Grant tried the code again. Still no good. That son of a bitch Obermann's changed the code, Grant muttered. We can't get in? Cardenas asked. It'll take a few minutes, Grant muttered, flicking open his pocket phone to call up the base's central computer.
You think they're leaving Farside?
What else? The question is, where the hell are they going? As Grant queried the central computer for the new entry code, Cardenas fidgeted nervously.
I wish there was something I could do, she said, wringing her hands.
There is, said Grant, his eyes fixed on his phone's minuscule screen. Get down to the maintenance center. Toshio Aichi ought to be there with a sample from the Mirror Lab's airlock hatch. Find out what kind of nanos drilled a hole through the hatch and how to kill them. Cardenas's jaw dropped open.
You must be joking. How can I do anything without the proper equipment? I need an atomic force microscope to begin with, and...
You're going to have to work with what we've got at the maintenance center, Chris. I know it's a tall order, but it's a matter of life or death. Work with Toshio. He's pretty smart.
Grant, that's like asking a surgeon to operate on a patient blindfolded.
He looked up from the phone screen and tapped a combination on the wall-mounted keypad. The door slid open. Turning to Cardenas, Grant said, You're the world's expert on nanotechnology, Chris. Prove it.
Thanks a lot, she griped. And what are you going to do while I'm trying to perform a miracle?
I'm going to get Halleck and make her tell us what kind of nanos we're up against. With that, Grant stepped through the open doorway and into the locker area, leaving Cardenas standing in the corridor, resentful and angry because she knew Grant expected her to do the impossible. Moving swiftly down the row of lockers, Grant saw that two of the spare spacesuits were gone, along with Nate Obermann's. He ran to the end of the row where the airlock hatch stood. Next to it was the ladder that led up to the flight control center. He grabbed one of the titanium rungs and put his foot on the bottommost. It crumbled under his weight, throwing him off balance. The bugs are here, he realized. Cautiously, he climbed up the remaining rungs and through the open hatch into the flight control center. Josie Rivera was still at the only operative console. She jerked with surprise as Grant clambered up beside her.
Grant, what are you doing?
What's going on, Josie? He asked. She blinked at him.
What do you mean?
Reaching across her to the light dimmer dial on her console, Grant lowered the lights in the cramped chamber. He pointed through the thick glass-steel window that looked out on Farside Spaceport. The lobber from Cellini still stood on the sole landing pad, but only three hoppers were lined up between the pad and the airlock's outer hatch. Where's the fourth hopper, Joe?
It's gone.
I can see that. Who took it? What's their flight plan? Where's their manifest?
Josie shook her head. In a small, frightened voice, she answered, I don't know.
Josie, you're the flight controller.
Three people came out and took off on a hopper, she said, trying to avoid Grant's eyes. I don't know who they are. They just came out and took off, without permission.
And you let them go? You didn't try to stop them. You didn't call me or Professor Ulrich or anybody.
What could I do? Josie wailed. It all happened so fast. I told them to stop, but they wouldn't listen.
Where'd they go?
I don't know. They wouldn't say.
Grant saw that Josie was close to panic. She's lying, he told himself. But pressuring her isn't going to change anything. It'd just be a waste of time. Calmly, almost gently, Grant said, Josie, I'm going downstairs and suit up. I want you to check with the GPS satellites and get a track on that hopper. Then you come down and check me out.
Okay, sure, she answered shakily.
And be careful on the ladder, Grant added, almost maliciously. The nanobugs are chewing on the rungs. Josie's dark eyes went wide with terror. Trudy was trying hard not to look up into the sky. As the hopper soared on its ballistic trajectory across the barren lunar landscape, Trudy looked downward at the dusty, rock-strewn, pockmarked ground. She swallowed bile, trying to keep her stomach in its place while they flew in virtually zero gravity. It's almost 2,000 clicks to Korolev, she reminded herself. It's going to take us close to an hour to get there. An hour of standing inside the spacesuit, with Mrs. Halleck beside her gripping the handrail with both her gloved fists, and Obermann standing at the control podium. I hope he knows what he's doing, Trudy thought. As if in answer, she heard Obermann's voice in her helmet speakers. Just checked with the GPS system. We're right on the beam for Korolev.
Good, said Halleck.
Trudy thought her voice sounded anxious, tense. Be there in 54 minutes, Obermann added.
Good,
Halleck repeated.
And what happens when we get there? Trudy wondered. How long will we have to stay cooped up in that little shelter? What's going to happen to me?
We should have disabled the other hoppers, Obermann said, almost as if he were discussing the weather.
There was no time for that, Halleck immediately replied. Besides, it wasn't really necessary, was it? Who's going to come out after us?
Grant Simpson, Obermann said, his tone more serious. Grant'll come charging out after us.
Trudy hoped he was right.
Maintenance Center. Cardenas stared at the thin slice of metal resting on the workbench. Toshio Aichi stood a respectful half-meter from her side, saying nothing.
That's the sample you took from the Mirror Lab airlock hatch, Cardenas said.
Yes, Aichi replied.
Standing on the other side of the workbench, Della Zacharias volunteered,
We confirmed that a nanometer scale hole was drilled through it.
Using your laser probe? Cardenas asked.
Yes, said Aichi.
It has resolution in the nanometer scale.
He glanced at Moonface Zacharias, then added,
Unfortunately, that's not good enough to give us much information about the nanomachines themselves.
Aichi's face looked like a skull with skin stretched over it, Cardenas thought. He was utterly serious, unsmiling, somber.
Disassemblers drilled a hole all the way through the hatch.
Pinhole,
Zacharias said.
Nanometer scale in diameter.
Enough to cause an air leak in the mirror lab, Aichi added.
What's the composition of this metal? She asked.
Zacharias started to reply, but Aichi silenced him with an upraised hand.
I will call up the information from the computer files. That will give you a completely accurate report.
He stepped to the end of the workbench and spoke to the computer terminal there. Zacharias said,
It'll take a few seconds.
Cardenas nodded.
Here it is,
said Aichi, swiveling the display screen so that Cardenas could see it.
As she studied the list, Aichi said, May I express my pleasure at working with you, Dr. Cardenas? You are most respected.
Cardenas regarded his stiffly somber expression.
Thank you. I hope that together we can solve this problem. I have no